Well, welcome to the first week of our new series. We're calling it Worth It, 5 Reasons Faith Deserves Your Best. We all have priorities in life, right? Work, family, health. But where does faith rank? Is it in the top 3? Is it in the top 3? Many of you have been here and sitting in the pews for years, faithfully giving, serving, loving. You've raised children and grandchildren. You've endured illnesses, survived recessions, buried parents. If someone asked you whether following Jesus was worth it, you'd say yes, 1,000 times yes. But for a lot of people, the jury is still out. They're so busy, you know, building their lives, making ends meet, advancing their careers, taking care of their families. They're already stretched so thin, it's easy to let God slide. Maybe you wonder whether investing more in your faith, not only coming to church every week, but praying at home and reading the scriptures, growing in your relationship with God, is really worth it when there are so many other things competing for your time, energy, and attention. The question is, how much more are you willing to give God? In this series, we're going to make the case for faith. Over the next 5 weeks, we'll answer one of life's most important questions. Is faith worth it? Is it worth pursuing when life gets hard? Is it worth making a real decision to believe? Is it worth the hard work discipleship requires? And is it worth protecting your faith? Spoiler alert, sorry to spoil the surprise, but the short answer is yes. Yes, in fact, there are 5 very good reasons to devote more of your life to God. Today, we're going to look at the first of those reasons. I want to talk with you today about worth the risk. Every good thing in life comes with a risk. It requires risk. You know, falling in love, getting married, having children, starting a business, changing careers, going back to school, moving to a new city, all come with risks. Relationships are risky. You could get hurt. Letting your children make their own decisions is risky. You have to give up the control you had when they were younger. Faith also comes with risks. You have to trust God when you can't see the plan or know where your life is heading. You have to forgive when it's easier to hold on to resentment. Be generous when it's safer to hold back. Take the time to pray when there are so many other things to do. Faith sometimes means making unpopular choices that other people don't understand. Your friends and neighbors, maybe they're doing some things that you know aren't right. And faith tells you to act with integrity, to say thanks but no thanks when others tempt you to compromise your values. And some people won't understand that decision. They'll say, oh, come on, who cares? Everybody's doing it. But you know that holiness is worth fighting for, that forgiveness is stronger than revenge, that service is greater than sacrifice. You know that. And so you are willing to stand up for your faith. Faith is also risky because it calls us to believe in things that we don't fully understand. Supernatural realities we can't see. It asks us to believe that God has the power to turn things around, to strengthen struggling relationships, to overcome weaknesses, to heal old wounds, shower down blessings and abundance, work miracles sometimes, and lead us to an amazing destiny. And a lot of people will think you're crazy for believing the impossible. But faith is always worth the risk. When I was a young child, about 4 or 5, my family went to a local amusement park in North Carolina. It was called the Land of Oz. And it was based on the book and the movie, you know, The Wizard of Oz. We had so much fun. We got to meet all the main characters, you know, Dorothy, the lion, the scarecrow, the tin man. The park had exact replicas of Auntie Em's farmhouse, the yellow brick road, Emerald City. One of the main attractions was a hot air balloon ride. It wasn't really a hot air balloon. It was on, you know, on cables, but it looked like a balloon, and that was one of the main attractions. And when we got underway, my father was having a great time trying to scare me. Told me that the Wicked Witch of the West was right behind us and chasing us down, and he even cackled like she did in the movie. And, you know, I have to admit that at that young age, his evil laughter frightened me. But when the balloon started going up in the air, pulling us quickly above the tree line, several hundred feet above ground, my father suddenly stopped laughing. He had a bad case of acrophobia. He was afraid of heights. And when we were at high altitudes in that balloon, above the Blue Ridge Mountains, far above the valleys below, he started whining. I'll never forget it. He was like, "I don't like this. I really don't like this. I want to get off." But a few minutes later, the ride came swooping back down closer to the ground, and he was back at it, trying to scare me. This time it was those flying monkeys who were about to snatch me out of the balloon, laughing maniacally. My mom just rolled her eyes, you know. People in the balloons floating past in the opposite direction kept looking over at this man and was like, "What is he doing to this child?" But he didn't care. He was having such a good time at my expense. But then, of course, the balloon went back up again. And right on cue, he started complaining, was concerned about the height, worried that the ride wasn't safe. At high elevations, all my father could focus on was the risk of being that far off the ground. He couldn't enjoy the view, the sky, the majestic mountains below. He was laser focused on the danger. This is what happens when we face risky situations. The potential loss, the downside, it's all we can think about. The ground seems far away. You wonder, will the cable hold? What happens if I fall? Our instinct is to play it safe. Don't take chances. Err on the side of caution. And just like my father, that's when joy, trust, and confidence go out the window. In today's gospel, the disciples were way out in the Sea of Galilee, their tiny boat tossed by a fierce storm. The lightning flashed, thunder cracked. It was no joke. They could have easily drowned. Jesus came walking toward them on the water, and at first they were frightened. He looked like a ghost, but when he came closer, he said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." But do you know what? All those disciples stayed right where they were in the boat, hunkered down, not moving a muscle, seeking refuge in that boat. All the disciples, that is, except one, Peter. Somehow, Peter knew that the greatest danger wasn't stepping out of the boat. The greatest danger was never leaving it. The boat represented safety, security, control, certainty, predictability. It wasn't much, but it was all the disciples had. They thought, if we just can stay in the boat, then maybe we'll get to the other side unharmed. Boats aren't bad, of course. The problem is when staying in the boat keeps you from growing. When staying in the boat holds you back from the freedom, the healing, the abundance, the joy God wants you to have. A lot of people live in safe boats. They seek shelter from safe lives, safe jobs, safe relationships, safe routines. And that's not wrong. It's natural to seek safety. We all want guarantees, stability, a five-year plan. But that's not the way God works. Faith is not about control. It's about trusting in something you can't see. Sometimes many of life's greatest blessings are just outside the boat, where it's not comfortable, where it's not safe, where it's not predictable, where the risk is great. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, Jesus could have calmed the storm first. He could have stopped the waves, stilled the waters, made it safer for Peter. But instead, in the middle of the raging storm, he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. The greatest miracle of that story wasn't Peter walking on the water. The greatest miracle is that he discovered he could trust Christ. He could trust Jesus. Because when Peter saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O ye of little faith, of you a little faith, why did you doubt?" When Peter lost his nerve, Jesus didn't really criticize him. He didn't say, "Oh, Peter, I knew you couldn't do it. What were you thinking?" Instead, he encouraged Peter and challenged him to have even greater faith next time. Will you have that kind of great faith? Maybe some of you have wonderful lives. You know, you've worked hard, earned success. You've built strong, healthy, stable, happy families. You've achieved financial security. You're comfortable. Those are good things. They're some of life's greatest blessings. But there will come a time when faith asks you whether you're willing to trust God more than your own ability, to go somewhere you never expected, do something you thought was out of reach, believe for the impossible. And on that day, the question will be, is your faith worth the risk? When I was accepted to study for the priesthood, I had a high-paying career as a lawyer, a nice house in a good neighborhood, close friends, a stable existence. It was predictable, secure, safe. I would have to give all that up, move across the country, and start a new life that I had no way of knowing whether it would work out in the end. I had already put that decision off for 20 years, but I still had this nagging feeling telling me, you know what, maybe you should play it safe. Stick with what you know. Thoughts whispered, what if you can't hack it? What if you get kicked out? What if you don't like it? What then? What are you going to do then? The enemy was working overtime, trying to get me, to convince me that it wasn't worth the risk. Well, I finally went, but a few months in, another seminarian was asked to leave. And like me, he had given up a six-figure career. And now he had nowhere to go. Had to move in with his parents, a 55-year-old man, 60-year-old. He had to move in with his parents, and in his mind, he was too old to start over. I got to tell you, that news hit home, and hit home hard. I started thinking, well, maybe I should get out now while I still can. Maybe the law firm will take me back, give me back my old job. Maybe it's not too late. But then something began to rise up on the inside, and I became more determined than ever to keep going, to keep trusting, keep risking, taking the risk, to keep walking on water, because I knew it was worth the risk. In today's first reading, the prophet Elijah was on the run from King Ahab, an evil king and an evil, even more evil wife, Queen Jezebel. And Elijah hid way up in the mountains in a cave. God came to Elijah and said, "Go outside and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord will be passing by." A heavy wind, mighty wind blew, a fire blazed, an earthquake shook the whole mountain. But Elijah didn't budge. He stayed right where he was, hidden in the cave where it was safe. But when it was all over, outside he heard a tiny whispering sound. He could barely hear it. He had to strain to make it out. But that's when Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. The wind, the fire, the earthquake, those were awesome sights and sounds, but they weren't personal. They didn't ask Elijah to do anything. They didn't challenge him in any way. But the whisper, that was different. The whispering sound was far more frightening than all those other signs put together, because the whisper was God's own voice. The greatest risk Elijah took was not surviving the wind, the fire, the earthquake. It was allowing God to come close enough to change him. That's why he hid his face. Are you willing to take the same risk? Allow God even more into your life? cultivate an even deeper relationship with him, obey his voice every day? If you're like most people, you're like me, you're running from one thing, one obligation to the next. You know, work, family, sports, school, raising kids, assuring your financial future, caring for elderly parents. It's easy to stay in the boat. It's easy to hide in the cave, to let faith take a back seat and avoid where that still small voice may be taking you. But if you want to walk on water, follow your dreams, seek the unimaginable, you have to take a risk, a leap of faith. It's scary, it's dangerous, it's fearsome, but in the end, it is worth the risk.